Pray for grace for me this morning as we continue our study in the book of Ecclesiastes. We got two more weeks. This is the last time we'll hear from Kohelet. We'll be this morning, and then next week there'll be the frame narrator, kind of just narrating out the whole book of Ecclesiastes. So with that, you can go to the book of Ecclesiastes. I got a couple of things to say before we read the text, if I may. Just came back. I was in the maximum security prison in Florence yesterday, preaching and teaching God's word by God's grace. He continues to open up those doors. So that was a blessing. It's always good to see the guys and fellowship with them as we go over the scriptures together, and hopefully and prayerfully our encouragement to them as they are to us. Okay, so anybody familiar with the term telomeres? Come on, Miss Mary. Nope. Telomeres. No. Okay. Well, telomeres are an essential part of the human cells that affect how we age. Now everybody's interested, right? I mean, now we want to know what they are, right? Telomeres, Nikki, remember this. Keep this in your watch pocket. Telomeres are the caps at the end of each strand of DNA that protects our chromosomes, right? Just like plastic tips at the end of shoelaces. What happens when those plastic tips at the end of shoelaces start straying? They are hard to get in the hole, right? They just start, right, Donna? Right? They're hard to get in the hole. Without the coating, the shoelaces become frayed until they can no longer do their job. Just as without telomeres, DNA strands become damaged, our cells can't do their job, and we get older. Rachel told me yesterday, bring a pair of shoelaces up there. And I said, well, and then I was looking for a pair of shoelaces, but I couldn't find any extra ones anyway. So anyway, I'm not done with that. In an article on the website called Motherhood, the article depicted that the only sure thing in life is that all of us are going to what? Right. The article goes on to say that humans have long been trying to achieve immortality, or at least to live about 100 years. Some people think we're getting closer. The new research is sure to bolster that belief. Scientists say they've managed to reverse the aging cells by tampering with these telomere chromosomes. Mary, don't laugh. I didn't make this up. One doctor reports that telomeres are a favorite focus of the, I don't even believe they have this. They have an anti-aging community. And this is their favorite study on telomeres. But there's still good reason to be skeptical that we found the fountain of youth. On the other hand, Sinatra said this. On the other hand, one day you turn around and it's summer. The next day you turn around and it's fall. And all the winters and the springs of a lifetime, whatever happened to them all. As a man who's always had the wandering ways, I keep looking back to yesterdays till a long-forgotten love appears, and I find that I'm singing softly as I near September, the warm September of my years. As a man who's never paused at wishing wells, now I'm watching children's carousels, and their laughter's music to my ears, and I find that I'm smiling gently as I near September, the warm September of my years, the golden warm September of my years. Let's see what the scripture says about this stuff. That's what we need to do. But anyway, that's two views. Sinatra says you're getting old and then you're going to die. This other research says you're getting old, but we want you to continue to get old, and we're going to help you do that. I just don't get any of it, but that's a story for another day. Now, this is tough stuff. I'm going to tell you, I started out with those little interesting things because I don't know if they were interesting. Anyway, thank God I don't go on Facebook much. Who knows what they might say about the pastor, right? I'm going to tell you right now, what we're going to talk about this morning is hard stuff. It's not easy. This is the last word from Kohelet. This is the last word that Kohelet is going to speak until the frame narrator comes in next week. The frame narrator in the book of Ecclesiastes says one thing in the beginning of the book, and then he comes in the last few verses at the end of the book. So this is the last word from Kohelet. This is the last word from the teacher. And he's done a lot of stuff. We've been in this book a long time. I've got yays on it and nays. When are you going to be done? Keep going. It's just, and I've had my beefs with Kohelet myself. But this is his last words. This is what he's come up with. And we need to hear it. Now, I want you to look at two things as we read this text. You need to look at two things. There's a word play here, and you got to hear this, between to rejoice, and or to remember. This is a key theme in Kohelet's last words, rejoice and then remember. That's important. Because at the end of the day, we got to understand this word. We got to understand what the Word of God says. So I'm just giving you a little kickoff here. Rejoice and remember. Starting in the 11th division, the 7th verse. The light or the life is pleasant, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of your young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are what? Fleeting. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Getting older. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and clouds return after the rain, important stuff, in the day that the watchmen of the house tremble and mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through the windows grow dim, and the doors on the street are shut, and the sound of the grinding mill is low, and one will arise at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of the song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home, while mourners go about in the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. The end of the words of Kohelet. Now, many expositors depict that there's a difference or a shift in focus between chapter 11, the end, and the first seven verses of chapter 12. And here's the difference. Now hear this. Bartholomew depicts the word rejoice governs 11, 7 through 10. Rejoice in your youth, you're young. Have a good time. Rejoice. But then the word remember, which governs 12, 1 through 7, this is a stark word in this verse. It's a stark word, and it's a stark word of what's going on here. And let me try to get this. Just, if we don't get this, we don't get what we're going to talk about today. So here it is. Now, so there's nothing wrong with rejoicing in our youth or following our impulses or the desire of our eyes. That's what the Kohelet is telling us. The problem is they're what? They're fleeting. It's going to go fast. Do you remember when you were 29 and 40? And I mean, think about what's happening. He says, you know, enjoy yourself, do this, but they're going to go fast. And he says, we must now, as we get older, or as one approaches the September of our years, we must start to reflect. We must start to remember or pause, just like you're pausing at a wishing well, maybe. Meaning to ponder life in light of eternity. There's got to come a time when you start thinking of life concerning eternity. And that's what the writer's telling us. It's amazing. And it says, which has been put in our hearts. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3 and 11, eternity has been put in our hearts. As we know, life goes fast. Rachel? It goes fast. The silver cord breaks, just like the shoelaces fray. The September of our years wait for no one. But even if you're young, remember time and chance can happen to anybody. See, right? Think about how he's, man, this guy is a lawyer extraordinaire. I mean, this guy is a divine author, and he's summing everything up for us. And I'll break down some of this hard stuff in a second. Basically, here's the deal. Our minds must be shaped or governed by this mindset. Remember our Creator. That's what he's saying. Remember. Listen, you're going to all stand before the living God on the day that we go in front of him. Everybody. So notice how this guy's brilliant. I mean, it's a brilliant. He says, listen, you know, have fun, do this. At the end of the day, you need to remember. You need to remember before it's too late. Time waits for no one. No one. It is this type of remembrance that we should keep in our watch pocket before the difficult days come, the aging process develops. But knowing that, Shorty, that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. That's what's important. Now, in fact, remember the central theme in Ecclesiastes, as we mentioned. God has created eternity in one's heart. We see that in Ecclesiastes 3:11. We remember that. So with this mindset, people under the corruption of sin want to create their own utopia or longevity in life, as we have discussed. People are just, they got this eternity in their heart, and they're trying to, whether it's telomeres or Sinatra singing about the September of his years, people are trying, there's this eternity, and people are trying to get there all the wrong way. But they're trying to get there. Kohelet, living before the cross, sees this as a huge dilemma. In fact, he sees life, look at verse 2, growing dark. Notice, before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened. Look at this. And clouds, what usually returns after the rain? What do you think about? Please say it. Sun. Notice what he says. Clouds return after the rain. Only a looming debt to the individual, but something more. So verse 2 is a huge dilemma. And then look what it says. Yeah, death, but also a fading or failure of creation. The stars and the moon, they're darkened. This is almost, I'm telling you, this is apocalyptic literature. It's almost like the book of Revelation. So you see, he's musing over this stuff, and it's amazing what he's saying. And it says, Kohelet does not only see death knocking at the door for humans, but a cosmic change in the world, or something of that nature. You know why? Because he's reflecting. He's thinking. And he's looking at things. See, listen, he's done everything. We read it from chapter 1 all the way to now. He's done everything. And he's reflecting and he's thinking. I told you a million times, the enemy hates thinking Christians. And he's thinking. He's musing over this. Kohelet is not looking for quick fixes like altering one's chromosomes or heartfelt songs or entertainment. He tried all that. Remember, he tried all that stuff. He's not looking for that. He's looking for and remembering God. That's what he's doing here, I believe. The question for Kohelet, as Bartholomew depicts, is how do we handle these mysteries in life? And that's a serious question. Listen, you see there are all these, look at these cultural movements today. It is unbelievable the movements and the ideas and the progressive ideas that people are coming up with today. You can't even put on the television anymore. People are just trying to progress and they just look for this eternity in all the wrong places. In all the wrong places. How do we handle these mysteries? Something that we must contemplate, something we got to reflect. Oswald Chambers said this: we can believe things about God, but do we actually believe in him? That's the question. Now, this is the most, 3 through 6. Did you listen when I read that? 3 through 6? What the heck is he talking? This is hard stuff. Now I'm gonna give you the best chance to understand this if I can. Now just if I may, don't put it up yet, Miss Ashley. I got one verse I need to put up, but I wanna just look at these 3 through 6. Listen to this. I just want to read it a little bit, just not all of it, but just think of some of the language. The watchman of the house trembles. The mighty men stoop. The grinding ones stand idle. The doors in the street are shut. One will arise at the sound of the bird. The daughters of song will sing softly. Men are afraid of high place. Terror's on the road. The almond tree blot. There's a lot of stuff here. What is he talking about? We need to know what he's... This is like his... Donna, this is his summation. This is the end of the matter for him. What is he talking about? When David was made king over Israel, you read in 1 Chronicles 11 and 12, all of these mighty men that David employed. Now just stay with me. I'm in a little bit of a rabbit trail, but I'm going to get back to this. I want to say something here. These guys were great warriors, from men who would guard lentil patches to men who would wrestle lions and who killed Egyptian giants. But with all that might, power, and wealth, there's a verse that may be unnoticed, and I believe the most important verse in that whole section of 1 Chronicles 11 and 12 when David is now going to take over to be king. Miss Ashley, please. I think that one verse in Chronicles, very good. Listen to this, man. Of the sons of Issachar, men who understand the times with knowledge of what Israel should do, their chiefs were 200 and all their kinsmen were at their command. Now I want to think about that. That's important. With knowledge of what Israel should do. Remember what I've always reminded us. The enemy hates thinking Christians. All the brunt and the brawn of Israel would be nothing if one did not understand the times. Wisdom is much needed today as it was now. So this is here, this is a huge section of wisdom. How do we apply? What is he talking about, Gene? What is he talking about here? We got to know, because this is the sum of the matter. And here's what he's meaning. Verses 3 through 6 talks about societal breakdown. We have to understand the times. Now, remember, his thinking probably stems from what we read in verse 2. Before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain. About the stars and the moon giving over to a darkened sky, which could depict, yes, societal breakdown, which may eventually lead to judgment. There's a trembling and a cowering by men in this section. which leads maybe to an upcoming catastrophe. Look at verse 3. In the day of the watchman, the house tremble, the mighty men stoop. There's a trembling and a cowering. The leaders of the house, or the watchmen, the mighty men, they stoop, they cower, they tremble out of fear, and the grinders stand idle. Who are the grinders? Who are the grinders? They stand idle. The grinders, a woman who worked in the mill, they make the bread. They make the bread. But the bread now ceases because they stand idle, awaiting for some catastrophe to take place. Why do they stop? Well, the good Gospel of Luke talks about this too. Speaking of the grinders at the mill who stop because of sudden death, captivity around them, one taken, the other left. In fact, a woman looking through the window have dashed hopes. Something is wrong. The birds sing softly like a funeral dirge. And the doors of the street are shut. No business, no law courts, no market. Listen, there's a catastrophe on the way. And you can see how, I mean, listen, Kohelet speaks better than he knows. And you look at this stuff and he's saying something is not right. And what does he say? Remember. Remember your Creator. Remember the Creator. Because the world is upside down. Something is not right. And if you live in this world, you know something, Glinda, is not right. And here's what Kohelet is teaching us in this. I mean, this is hard stuff. This is not for the faint of heart. And as we look at this, we muse on this ourselves. My question is to me first, how serious do we take this? I mean, this guy has investigated this matter for a long time. As mentioned, the mill closed, meaning no food. In fact, Bartholomew says this, the fading sound of the mill over against the rising sounds of the birds of death. In the book of Ezekiel, the judgment imagery of birds gathering around a dying animal, these are stark pictures to say the least. We have to understand our Old Testament. This stuff is unbelievable. In verse 5, the societal nightmare continues as the almond tree blossoms. Now remember, another term for judgment in the first chapter of Jeremiah. Here men are afraid of high places because attacks can come. What about nature? It's ending because judgment blossoms. The caperberry plant fails, capers. The grasshopper links and the death brings mourning in verse 5. And men go to an eternal home for judgment. So you're saying to yourself, well, you shouldn't. I mean, this is, for me, when I read this, this was so challenging. Because at the end of the day, you know what the problem is? We don't take life that serious. But see, Kohelet takes it serious, Donna, because he's looking at life, and he had more money than any of us. If the writer is writing about Solomon, and that's a whatever whoever he's writing about, this guy had a lot of money to do anything he wanted to do. Anything. And he was in every area in life there was. It says, I bought thousands of apes. I did this. I did all this. And I did all that. And he says, at the end of the day, something ain't right. And Kathy, you know something is not right with this world. And the reason is because of what? Because of sin. And this is the whole thing. And there's a lot of stuff here that Kohelet is trying to tell us. And the problem is, are we listening? Do we really care of what he has to say? Verse 6, the silver cord is broken. The lampstands left without light. In other words, life is broken. All sustenance of life destroyed. The bowl crushed. Food again is scarce. Water supply gone as the buckets by the wells are shattered. The pottery wheel broken. What a stark picture. And look at verse 7. The Spirit returns for what? For judgment. Sounds just like the book of Revelation, man. It sounds like the book. This is the end of the matter for him. This is what he comes up with. And Don, at the end of the day, that's, you got to shake your head. I mean, think about this. Everything that he's come up with, all the money that he had, he's saying, listen, this is the end of the matter. You better, Johnny boy, remember your creator. That's the thing he's bringing out. And we say to ourselves, man, we got to come to church and hear this. Yes, we need to hear this. I need to hear this. Are we truly remembering our Creator? Remembering in what Christ Jesus has done for his people? And this is exactly because at the end of the day, all life is going to fail. And listen, we know Kohelet speaks better than he knows. I mean, he doesn't know what we know today, obviously, because of reading the New Testament and knowing all this, the things that we know. And all this we've mentioned goes back to what Hengstenberg reminds us, remember the Creator, because here is a picture of death and destruction and nowhere to turn. See, the thing is, do we reflect on this? We don't have to be funeral directors. I'm not telling you start picking out your coffin and stuff like that. That's not what I'm doing. But I gotta go by the text. Did you guys start picking out your coffin already?
We already got ours.
Figured that. I think sometimes we don't like to face reality. Me first, so let me say that. What Kohelet is doing, Taylor, is all he's doing is we need to face reality because tomorrow's not promised, Sandy, to any of us. To any of us. And the thing is, there's so much easy believism today that all you do is say a prayer or do this and you're okay. The bottom line is that's a lie from the pit of hell. This is a serious life. And you can see Kohelet is not joking around. And the reason is because he takes, let me say this better, Mary. What he did in all his studying was he took it serious. And he says to myself, I got something. This is the last time he speaks. And he's not going to sugarcoat it with, you know, just name it, claim it, or doubt it, do without it. He's going to tell you what time it is. And when I read this, I'm saying to myself, how seriously do we take this? How seriously do we take it? Me first. Because he's a serious thinker. He's a serious dude, right? The Creator, because here is a picture of death and destruction with nowhere to turn except to him in Christ. That we will talk, and we'll talk more about this next week. But this text has to awaken us. This is the finality of what Kohelet has found. What does the New Testament teach us? The Lord is not slow about his promises, some count slowness. He's willing none to perish and wanting his people to come to repentance. Think. This is what I think Kohelet envisioned. Yes, there's affirmation of joy, rejoice, for sure. But as Bartholomew depicts, judgment is knocking on the door. Reflect. Think. It's knocking on the door. But people are going to tell you, but I'm a Christian. I go to church or I... Is this your whole life? Is this your whole life? Me first. Is this, you eat, sleep, and drink Christ and him crucified and resurrected? Catherine, that's challenging, man. To me first. Kohelet is saying, this is what awaits the people who don't know the Creator, in this case, who don't know Christ and whom crucified and resurrected. So how serious are we in this? Listen, Jan, look how serious Kohelet was. This guy's a serious thinker. So when I looked at this for myself, I said to myself, man, this guy is really, really out there. But at the end of the day, he's challenging to me. Peter depicts the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens as we know them will pass away, and there'll be a purging of sin and death like that of intense heat. The main crux of this teaching is to remember your Creator. He's the only one that could understand Kohelet's dilemma, and it's summarized here. Now watch this. Just for a second, I want to talk about Kohelet's dilemma, just for a second before I go to the book of Revelation. Castellino depicts that Kohelet is not easy to figure out at times. Thank God I got some commentators that agree with me. He is not shorty. This guy's a hard dude to figure out. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you this. He's skeptical for sure, but at times his Jewish faith shines through. The bottom line, according to most expositors in this section, is to renounce ourselves and look towards our Creator. We must give up our human autonomy, which we cherish, and bow at the foot of the cross. But Carolyn, we love our autonomy. We love our human autonomy. We love enjoyment. But you see this? He's not telling you not to enjoy. He's telling enjoy, but you better reflect and you better remember. You're preaching again. She says, oh, you're going to be judged. She's starting to do that in the Bible studies too. I got to be careful with Cecilia. I'm only kidding. This guy, listen, so I want to, let me just look at this one thing here for a second. The foot of the cross, where every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. The connection in these passages is personal and cosmic, for which humanity will be held accountable. Not easy stuff, but you know what? That's the end of the words of Kohelet. He's got nothing more to say. That's it. He's done. Next week, the frame narrative is going to come in, and he's going to reflect on what Kohelet has said. That's for next week. Go to Revelation 6. Let's see if we can line this up. I want to try to line this up if I can. In closing, twelfth verse. Now listen to this language. Notice the language we just read in his last words, Kohelet. I know he was kind of hard to figure, used a lot of language that we're not used to using. But I want you to look at this language here in the sixth seal in the book of Revelation. And I want you to think about this in light of what Kohelet said and see if we can line this up. I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree cast its unripe figs was shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong of every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves among the rocks of the mountains, and they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? The Bible depicts What good is it if you gain the whole world, then lose your soul? The book of Revelation, in its essence, wants to give us a heavenly perspective. That's the plight of the book of Revelation. The judgment of the world here in verses 12 through 14 are depicted by cosmic metaphors of judgment. These allusions are depicted in many of our Old Testament texts, as we have discussed. Except now, the judgment is not merely against an individual or an ungodly nation, but against the whole world of unbelievers, which depicts the final judgment, which must cause us to reflect. This has to cause us to reflect. We have family members. We have people maybe sitting in these pews that are not God's people. Listen, Johnny boy, this stuff right here is serious. It's got to cause us to reflect. All of us, me first. What's interesting in these verses is we see many classes of people, rich, poor, kings, slave, free, showing God is no respecter of persons, yes, in salvation, but yes, here also in judgment. This is a stark picture. They seek refuge, verse 16, but there's no refuge in the earth. Nothing can hide them. They seek to avoid judgment, just as Adam and Eve did, trying to hide from the Lord. But then there's the final question. Here's the question. Who can stand? That's the question. Who can stand? My short answer is obviously only those who are in Christ will be able to stand before God, standing in His righteousness, not yours. That's the question. You'll see in chapter 7, they ask the question, who's able to stand? And before the judgment comes, the separation of God's people are the ones who stand, the one trusting in Christ. Not in your righteousness, but His. Kohelet has warned us best as he knew in his day. As best as he knew, he's warned us. He's given us a warning. Judy, you know, we can't play around with this stuff. This is serious stuff. Tomorrow's not promised to any of us. My question is to me first, where are we? We don't think enough about this stuff. I don't think enough about it. But the book of Revelation here is obviously here kind of playing out what Kohelet was thinking about then. He knew as best as he could in his day, but today, here's the problem, Taylor. Today, we're without excuse, any of us. We all know the truth. The seriousness of this text should let us, what? Reflect, ponder, think. Relax. Go home and say, man, read this. We'll go home and say, man, where am I? Look at this. Look at what's going to happen to this world. Not as far as being destroyed. You know what's going to be taken out of the world, right? Sin. Sin. And who sins? People. And those people will be separated, the sheep and the goats. They'll be separated. We need to ponder this. Either we fall on our knees in thanksgiving to God for His mercy, or we fall on our knees to see if we are truly in Christ, in repentance. Because as the writer of Ecclesiastes depicts, God will bring every act to what, Cecilia? Judgment. Every act. In fact, Revelation gives us a picture of finality. Finality in salvation as well as judgment. The saints wanted to rush to judgment in chapter 5. God told them rest. Rest. That is why the Bible depicts, listen, we preach life unto life or what? Death unto death. Did he? Life unto life or death unto death. That's how we preach it. You can't preach life without death. You can't preach eternity without eternal hell. You can't do it. Kohelet's seen it. The book of Revelation muses and reflects on it. And that means I can't do it either. We got to preach joy. We got to preach reflection. We got to preach sin. We got to preach death. We got to preach eternal home or eternal damnation. That's my charge. And we see every writer in every book doing that if we look at it closely. It's even in the Song of Solomon, believe me. The door in heaven for John was opened in chapter 4 as the door to salvation is now open. But there will come a time when it closes and every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, as we have mentioned, that Jesus Christ is Lord. But only ones who truly know him will be saved. The Bible depicts my sheep what? Hear my voice. Despite the arrogant fantasies of God's enemies, human power will provide no refuge when Christ returns. Zero. Marilyn Wright, there'll be no refuge. If you're not a Christian, there's no refuge for you. There's no hope. It is for this reason and reason alone we must, as a church, witness the gospel because the time is short. And I believe Kohelet spoke better than he knew. I really do. So here's why, for me, I take this so serious. Because I'm going to be responsible how I represented Kohelet. In all these, how many weeks, Miss Ashley, now? 20 weeks? Whatever it might be. Listen, you guys can say this, that, or the other thing. At the end of the day, I'm going to be responsible to the King of the universe how I represented Kohelet. Kathy, you've been around a long time. I can't tickle ears. Just can't do it. The problem is Kohelet challenges me big time. Because when he looks at this world, and he had it all, when he looks at this world, he says, something is missing. Something ain't right. Kathy, is something right in this world? We know something is not right. Sandy, we know the world is broken. We know that. Whoever doesn't know that, I don't know if they're in a coma. But Kohelet wants to awaken all of us. Me first. How serious are we in this life? How serious is this everything to us? People will tell me, well, I said a prayer 8 years ago. Okay. Judas was around Jesus for 3 years. 3 years. And he preached the gospel too. Did he? He preached the gospel too. He stole some of the money, but still preached the gospel. They're still doing that today anyway. Right? Preaching the gospel and stealing the money. Ain't nothing changed but the zip code. We already know that. 3 years at his side. And he was a devil. Sandy, that stuff is stark, man. 3 years at his side, and he was a devil. Kohelet speaks better than he knows. And I pray by God's grace that I represented him right. I love you guys. You know I love you guys to pieces. But at the end of the day, if I just made this some name it, claim it, doubt it, do without it, Kohelet has got some issues with the world. Then if he's got issues with the world, then so should we. Really. Let's stand. We get the